Welcome to another episode of Men Explain. I'm Sonia, and today joining me to chat about something that I'm very curious about because we're constantly moving into different stages of life. He's gonna help us better understand how to deal a life crisis. And I feel like I'm talking to a therapist right now. Please welcome Paul Foster.
Sonia, thank you for having me. Well, I gotta put my therapist hat on today.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, I feel so. No, you've got a lot of experience. I think that's what it is, right? And Paul, please let our listeners and viewers know what you're up to recently, because you need no introduction. You're everywhere. You act, you host, you do crazy adventurous things. So maybe you can fill them in on what you've been up to.
Okay, well, I guess the most recent project is Kamokakis, which we took almost 2 years to shoot. Yeah, it was like I was serving national service again.
That was a pretty adventurous one, actually.
It was great. It was great. I was trying to pull you in there as one of my guests for one of my episodes.
I don't think I'll ever survive. Not even a single
scene. You'd be surprised.
Really?
Be surprised.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think
you have too much faith in me. Truly too much faith in me. But of course, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
And how has life been for you just in general?
I'm always the optimist. I'm always the glass is half full rather than half empty.
Yeah.
So for me, life is good.
I think that's what we love about you, because every single time I've met you, in any occasion, you've been like a ball of energy. You're always fun. You're always laughing and smiling. But of course, we also have our own moments where we reflect about life and we think and we worry and overthink sometimes.
Absolutely.
In fact, the funny thing was the last time I filmed with you was for Let's Talk About Health, season one. Let's go back there for a little bit, okay? So the episode that we did was actually about the heart.
Yes.
And you were sharing with me a very personal story, which then became public information. Mm-hmm. About your own incident and your own brushes with health scares.
Again, ironically, I was invited onto the show with you guys to talk about heart health, but I had happened to go through a few kind of early health pre-screenings prior to the filming.
Yes.
So I did find out, obviously, that I had some blockages in my arteries. We were in the process of dealing with that, although at that point the cardiologist was like, no, it's nothing we have to really worry about yet because we need to get your cholesterol down. My main problem is cholesterol,
so
which is genetic.
And you're in your late 30s, right?
Early 40s. So at that point I was 41.
So last year you were like 39 or something.
Yeah, 41, going to 42. I mean, long story short, I had to do my invasive angiogram. I had to put 4 stents in, 2 balloons, and get my cholesterol down in order to really resolve this issue now that I'm younger, healthier, and that can deal with the recovery now rather than doing it post heart attack or when I'm older and it takes longer to recover. So,
I mean, I did see your stories and, you know, you did a very detailed breakdown on what happened. We're very glad you're all good now and I'm sure getting back on track.
Yeah,
100%.
Slowly.
Yeah, slowly. But it also makes you think and wonder the kind of problems that you deal with in the different phases of your life. I mean, now that you're in your early 40s, you look back sometimes, I'm sure, at your 30s and your 20s. The problems are all very different, right?
Absolutely. And you know, when we're kids, right? When we're in school.
What do you worry about when we're kids?
Small stuff now that we're older, but when we're a kid, they were massive. Because problems then were mediocre. And that's why it's so cliche. You always think your parents always telling you like, don't worry, it's okay, you know? Because as a kid, you didn't have to worry about much, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm ashamed to admit this, but when I was in secondary school, I wasn't the most academically inclined, okay? I only bucked up like in sec 3 or something. And every time I get back a really bad result, I will, number one, okay, this is very bad example, but back then you always think like, oh my God, I could kill myself. Like I could really kill. But back then when we were experiencing it, it almost seems the end of the world.
That's it. It's relative.
Yeah, it's relative.
Our problems in life are relative to what phase we are in our life.
Of course.
Right? How we are living.
Yeah.
What's our support network like? General stuff. So like I said, as a kid, actually your parents did most of the worrying for you, right? They took care of everything. You literally had nothing to really worry about except like passing school.
Yeah.
Which is also why that's why when you're starting to fail some subjects,
like the
you're
end
like,
of the world.
Oh my, yeah, literally the end of the world. Oh my goodness. If I fail this, I cannot go in. To uni, I can't get a good degree. I can't
get a
can't get a good job. No career.
Exactly.
Oh my god!
It's
and you're
over,
already thinking 30 years ahead.
Yeah.
When actually it's okay.
Yeah, but of course you move in your into your 20s and then things start to evolve a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
So I think for most of our audience watching this right now, you may be in different phases of life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We get comments coming through, and we understand that you go through different things sometimes. So in your 20s, take us through. What were you worrying about? I want to know. Paul Foster, by the way, was a crazy party guy. I used to see him all the time out and about.
I was.
Tell us.
I still can be, but I'm very selective now.
Yes.
Wow, 20s. So what was 20s? 20s was just finishing national service, going into university, trying to get my uni degree, and then deciding, what career am I going to get into? What am I going to do? And then coming back to Singapore, and life for me kind of played my hand early, right?
Okay.
With the passing of my father.
Right.
When I was younger. So that was 1999. I was 18, trying to graduate high school. So at one phase in my life during high school, it's exams to pass my A-levels. It's dealing with my father being sick and his eventual passing, moving house, and then preparing to go to national service.
That's so much life changes in
right.
one
at 18,
phase.
At 18 years old. So for me, I grew up overnight.
Yeah.
I grew up.
You had to.
Instantly.
You had to.
I had no choice.
Yeah.
I had no choice. I had to be there for my mom and my family, but I also had to make sure I passed my exams or else, I couldn't get into uni. I could right. That was my fear.
The spiral.
That's right. So in a way, it's again ironic. I had no choice. Just deal with it and just do it. Push through now. You know, hopefully everything will come good as it goes. So, I always look for the blessings.
Yes.
I always look for the silver linings.
But maybe that's why you have develop this mindset.
Yeah. I mean, everyone always asks me like, what would you change? Or would you change anything in life? Or what would happen? That's a tough question because it's like, if it makes you the person you are, would you really change anything?
Yeah.
But then if I was like, of course, I wouldn't have wanted my father to pass away
so early
so that I had more time with him and to learn from him and to live with him.
Yes.
Would I also be the same person I am today if that was the case?
Mm.
So it's very tough debate in that sense, because I think throughout life, so by the way also, throughout life, there will always be a crisis.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It doesn't matter whether it's early, in the middle, or at the end, there's always going to be...
It will come up at some point.
There's always going to be stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
It's how you deal with it, which is the most important thing.
Yes.
So I guess having said that, navigating through the 20s, I was kind of okay already. Because I already dealt with a lot early.
And don't mind me asking this, did your friends understand or did they not quite get it at all?
Yes and no, actually. Yes and no. Again, great question. It was kind of like, Paul gets it.
Right.
Because he's already been there and done that. So, for example, I think out of my friend group, I was the second friend that had lost a parent early.
Mm.
I had one friend earlier than me. So in a way, as life has gone on, I've become that person that when a parent does pass away, people come to me or people ask me to talk to another friend.
Yeah.
Everyone deals with everything differently.
Yeah.
But the moment someone can come to you and talk to you from real life experience, personal experience, they have to diam and listen.
Yeah.
Right?
They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he knows what he's talking about. You know, and I get it when other friends are trying to help. But for me, I think I became that person, that counselor, therapist in a way.
Yes, the therapist kept someone in your group of friends.
Right. And that spilled across every sphere of life.
Yeah.
So I think friends did get it. I think I became that really grounded friend, that person that would, you know, be able to be the light and the dark, the black and the white. I was very in the middle and able to manage both sides and everything.
So the thing is, having experienced all that at such an early age, did your entire phase of your 20s, did you see yourself as someone who could enjoy life a lot more, or you would enjoy the smaller things in life?
Wow. Oh, I like something? That question too.
Yeah, so you know what I mean?
I think I give you the therapist
hat. Thank you. I'm super not qualified. I have own problems.
But we all do.
We all do, yeah.
No, I still think I enjoyed life.
Yeah.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think I enjoyed it even more.
Yes.
Because I knew how fragile it was.
Yeah, you really treasured it.
Yes, I knew that something could disappear, not just tomorrow.
Like now.
Today, I again looked for all the silver linings and the positives and the goods, and I used that as my compass to go out and enjoy things and again embrace life.
You know, Paul, thank you so much for opening up so early on in the podcast. I was not expecting that, but thank you for digging deep and sharing such a personal story. Because when I look back at my 20s, suddenly everything seems so redundant, right. Like to some extent.
It's never a comparison.
Of course not.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course. We're all different. We all live different lives. But I always say on a life journey, we're trying to find out who we are, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to find out ourselves.
Yeah.
It happens at different times. Mm-hmm. So
actually, it could constantly happen as well.
And, because we're ever evolving, right? We're growing, we're learning. But some people find our core selves early on.
Right.
Some in the middle, some at the end. And unfortunately, some never really find themselves. Mm. But maybe because they're constantly evolving and growing.
Yeah.
So my question to you was, besides you thinking your 20s was very redundant now compared to me, but how was your 20s?
Yeah.
And do you think you have found yourself yet?
Yeah, you know, now that you asked me that question, I was still in uni, right?
Yep.
And I was just getting started in this industry. So I did uni, and I think that's actually around about the time I met you.
Yeah, correct.
To be honest. So ages ago. So I was just getting into the media.
Yeah.
Trust me, I did not know what the heck I was doing. Because in my mind, I wanted to be a journalist.
Yeah.
And I was very sure I was going to go like back end. I was going to do writing. You know, I wanted to maybe be a news journalist at some point. It is an industry where you have to figure out who you are as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And I do pride myself in that, because I think that especially as a host and a presenter, it's not so much about acting. I suck at acting, so it's definitely not one of my strong suits. Just going to admit it right there. I think that essentially in the line that I am in specifically, growing with me at the same time, and that in itself is a gift that I get to experience with,
with
everyone. So I was more concerned about my career trajectory because I was juggling school and work at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think
which is amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't do it again. But my immediate worry was, how do I pass my exams, do well in my final project, not disappoint my lecturers, my parents, and at the same time, start this career.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know whether this career was going to take me anywhere because let's be real, at that moment, I was just doing it like for fun. Mm. I didn't know that it was going to be a full-time thing once I graduated, you know? It was just like, throw it out there and see where it takes me kind of situation. So those were the things I was concerned about. And I'm a naturally competitive person. So I definitely want to really grab the opportunities that came my way. I was very fortunate to have very supportive parents.
Yeah.
Both my parents came from media. So they've always been like, okay, you know, you do you, pursue your dreams kind of thing. They've always been so supportive, which I'm eternally grateful for because wouldn't be here without them as well.
Yeah.
So those were the things I was concerned about.
And I think I like to think of life as in little bonuses.
Yeah.
So when you said like you weren't expecting anything.
Yeah.
But what a bonus it's become.
Exactly.
Because it's like, I also feel like, have no expectations so that everything that you do earn and receive is a bonus.
Was that a quote from Spider-Man? Expect disappointment. Okay, correction from our producer. Disappointment and you won't be disappointed.
Wow, okay.
That's a little dark, but
Yeah, but
you get my
drift. Same gist.
Similar.
And for those of you watching, if you don't know how Sonia started, she actually joined the radio DJ
personality contest.
The competition, and her mentor was Roz.
Yes,
and Roz is a very old dear friend of mine.
And so you became one of the first friends in the media that I met.
Yes, because of the mentor
mentee
relationship. And then I voted for Sonia because I was listening. I was listening to her when they were, you know, putting them on air to test them.
Are you sure Ross didn't put a knife to your head and like, you better work for my mentee?
No, she offered me a meal, which is also good.
That's so sweet.
So I had recognized you already earlier. Right, I said, this girl got something.
Thank you.
Yeah, she did earn her spot.
Well, you see, without the kind of support that I had, you know, everything, like strangers, people I didn't even know wouldn't be here. But of course, in my 20s, I was also thinking about a lot of relationship stuff. Like,
sure.
I don't know about you.
Sure.
Did you have a lot of like dating sort of situations
yes
back then?
Yes and no. I'm a very committed long-term relationship guy. So I had a lot of long-term relationships.
So you're a serial relationshipper.
In a way. But when I'm single...
Oh,
I'm
here we go.
Single. So...
I'm not sure what that means.
Right. So let me see. When I was in my 20s, so during...
Are you counting girlfriends?
Or? Yeah. Like during uni was like, you know, one long-term girlfriend. And then early to mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Became single 2006.
Yeah. Well,
and then... I was doing all the... So I was modeling back then well and working on my first...
Oh my God. We need to put in a clipping of Paul's like modeling days right now.
Wow. Yeah. Long time ago. And starting my first business back then, and then doing the modeling PR stuff, like the PR at the clubs, taking care of all the models that were coming for dinners and parties. So that was my life, right? Yeah. It was like...
Vibrant.
Yeah, partying like 3-4 times a week, hustling, like that was the real hustle days.
Yeah.
You had to... go out and work.
Yeah.
You had to do the events.
Yeah.
You had to do, take all
you
the jobs.
You had to show that you're there.
Yeah.
You
had to
network.
Network. Yeah.
Yeah.
So pre-social media, right? So I always cut myself very lucky too that I came from the analog days.
Yeah.
I came from analog transition through to the digital. So I kind of had the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And you had to work then. Almost 20 years ago, a lot of people that we were working with are now in positions where they're making the decisions.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are, you want to book Paula? Okay.
Yeah.
Just hire
I got
him.
It.
Yeah. Just hire him. Don't need to see the rest.
Yeah.
Because
they already
we developed
know.
That working relationship and a personal relationship from that long ago.
Yeah.
Like you want to work with someone good. I know this guy is good.
Yeah.
Get him. And it's nice. It's come full circle.
Of
I would believe in full circle.
No, so basically what you're saying is what you experienced in your 20s would have probably paid off in your late 20s or early 30s or to your mid 30s.
100%.
Yeah. Exactly.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the journey, right?
That's the journey. Go out, meet people.
Yeah.
You know, establish good relationships.
Stay out and do it while you can survive on 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, have fun. Hey, if you can survive on 2 hours of sleep, you can work very hard later in life.
Yeah,
people see like, hey, actually, I remembered what we used to do.
Yeah,
So, you know, they'd be good to have to do a travel show.
Right.
For example.
It's very demanding, by the way, just letting y'all know.
Yeah.
I mean, you would know too,
People see 45 minutes of a show that
we've
shot.
They're like, wow, good life. Huh? Yeah, always travel for work, so fun.
They say, wow, 5 days straight on pushing 12 to 16 hours a day, traveling and filming, not easy.
Yeah.
But fulfilling.
Yeah.
So fulfilling and so much fun. But yeah, I'd say in the 20s is the time you
hustle,
make those relationships, have fun, enjoy.
Yeah.
I think that's a really crucial time. Figure out what do you like? What don't you like?
Yeah.
Develop your moral compass, you know, which we've already up until then always developing. But really, I think that's a time when you're now a mature, inverted commas.
Hopefully.
Adult. Because now you're an adult, right? 21.
Yeah.
You're an adult. You're now in the real world.
Yeah.
Your real sets of problems and life is going to hit you now. You need to go out and do that shit. You need to do it.
So hopefully how we're looking at it now after this conversation is... your 20s, the hustling years, hopefully your 30s might be like reaping some rewards in some way and you've done some growing up.
Yes,
how would you describe your 30s?
Yes and no. Yeah, I'd say you start to reap the rewards, but I still feel in the 30s, you still have to,
it's still
that next hustle.
Yes.
I think 30 to 35.
So how do you get to the next level is what you mean, right?
Yes, exactly.
And
so
hopefully, and people have the pressure of like, I need to be in a stable relationship or like, because it's not just about career.
Yeah.
It's also about the societal pressures. Like, I know, okay, so when
especially in Singapore.
Exactly. When I was in my early 20s and I had colleagues or friends who were in their early 30s, they would start to worry because they see the rest of their group getting married or getting engaged or like starting to have their first kid.
Yeah.
And they're like stressing, like, oh, like, I should be there.
Again, no right or wrong, right? Yeah. Some focus on career.
Yeah.
Some focus on family. The amazing people do both. And I'm like, wow, like, that's awesome. But I still feel there's no right or wrong.
There isn't. But I still feel like there's a bit of difference sometimes between men and women. I don't know if you agree.
Of course.
But for women, I do notice them stressing out over, you know, they look at different phases of life as like, I should be starting a family, I should be doing this. Or then what about my career? Like, but I'm not sure. As a guy, how do you feel about that? What do you worry about biologically?
Biologically, men are very lucky.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that.
But emotionally, men suppress themselves a lot more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or have the stigma that they shouldn't be showing emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is now changing a bit.
Yeah.
You know, everything's changing, which is nice. I mean, you touched on mental health earlier. So, yeah, there's always stigmas, but that's from society.
Yeah. Yeah. And all these worries that you have affect your life choices sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. But I get it. But I don't think it's fair. Look, as a guy, I'm going to say I feel it's much easier. I'm just putting it out there from my perspective and point of view. Again, everyone has to figure out what they want and how they want to do it. I also believe, like, if you just do you and don't go out and maliciously want to hurt someone or do anything bad, so on and so forth, then okay lah. Life is good, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it can be hard. I think when you're seeing, and again, comparing, I always don't compare.
Comparison is the thief of happiness, as cliche as it is.
The grass is always greener. Yeah. Like, you know, and for me, so this is one of my philosophies. I never compare like equal or up.
Right.
Never.
Okay.
Because there's always going to be someone that has a better life than you in some
aspect.
Come on,
okay, Paul, you know, in media industry it's even more amplified.
Sure.
Because it could be, oh, there's going to be another handsomer, younger,
right. More
jacked up guy than me, like coming to the industry, going after the same segment.
Right. They're getting all the work. How come they're working so much?
Exactly.
I've never been the jealous type to be like,
that's
wow.
That's great. No, good on you, because I think that is one of the toxic traits of this industry.
Yeah.
Really. Without, like, people look at,
without pointing too many fingers. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It is a toxic trait. And sometimes you can't also blame people for feeling this way.
I get it.
It is a natural human...
trade.
Reaction.
But like, everyone has to eat. Yeah. Everyone has to earn. And you can't do every job. So you should be happy for our colleagues.
Yeah.
I've never looked at anyone as competition.
Mm.
I feel everyone is my counterpart and colleague. Because
and
we're
there's
all,
enough things to go, yeah, to go around. Like,
and we all have our niches.
There
is so much, but you have to hustle to go and get it.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're not getting enough, maybe you're not hustling enough
by
to
way,
a certain extent.
Paul is probably the king of hustlers. Like, I see him do, you can be like here and then you're there and then suddenly you're on my IG feed or like you're doing something.
I think,
like,
also doing something, right?
You're
keeping,
always
keeping
doing
active.
Something.
Yeah, I want to do something.
Something.
Yeah. So I never compare up. But what I do is I compare down.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is I do a lot of charity work. I do a lot of volunteer work.
Yeah.
So I always compare myself down.
Mm.
This person, I'm building a house for this person and his family.
Wow.
Because they don't have a house.
Mm.
They don't have a roof over their heads, which is one of our basic needs in life.
Yeah.
So that for me is something huge. They can maybe eat once a day, twice a day, maybe not even 3 square meals a day.
Yeah.
We can eat whatever we want, whenever we want.
Yeah.
We have privilege. A lot of people think they don't have privilege. But we have a lot of privilege just being here, doing what we do.
And just being born in Singapore.
For already,
yeah.
Right? In general terms. So I always compare down. And there's so many more people that don't have anything compared to us.
So,
and
so
therefore
you,
life is good.
Exactly. You brought up a really good point. Do you think that the solution to dealing with crisis in different phases of life is to ground yourself in this manner and to get perspective? Because I see that, you know, you've gotten so much perspective from your charity work, helping, be it animals, humans, whatever it is. Because then you get that beautiful perspective on life.
Yeah.
And suddenly your problems in any phase of life, it disappears.
Small. Yeah, shrinks. Yes. I think being grounded is key.
So important, yeah.
Being grounded is finding yourself.
Yeah.
So I think also the first thing you need to do is really find yourself. There's no right or wrong. You need to figure it out. But things will happen in your life that will help you figure it out.
Yeah.
And whether you embrace it, whether you avoid it or whatever, you know, will help you. And I always say, I think you need to love yourself first and know yourself first before you can then help others and be of use to others and have this selfless service to others, which is what I managed to find quite early on.
Which is great because I also always believe in the whole concept of charity starts at home. Because if you're not even kind to the people in your inner circle, what's the point of going out there and doing charity work, right?
Again, doing it selfless.
Yeah, selflessly. Without any expectations.
Not doing it for the gram.
Yeah.
You know, you're literally...
I completely agree. Oh my gosh. You know, what irks me is that... I mean, it's good that everyone's
still
doing charity.
Okay, it's good. Still try and do, yes.
But I feel like when there's so much publicity around it, I also question why this person is doing. Okay, but never mind. That's a topic
That's
a whole
story.
Other thing altogether. But this was interesting because we saw a study that showed potential signs of a life crisis. And I'm going to read some of these symptoms out to you. Mm-hmm. Tell me whether you think you've experienced it or you think that it's a sign of a life crisis.
Yeah.
So the first one, having a lot of regrets and a drop in life satisfaction.
Wow.
Have you ever felt like, oh, I regret not doing this, I regret not doing that?
That's also quite hard.
Yeah.
I want to say no.
Yeah.
Because I have thought I've lived my life to the fullest and enjoyed everything. But I think there's always a...
At some point you might have...
Yeah, there's always a seed of doubt somewhere that's like, you know. I think for me, if that regret is, for example, I can, off the top of my head, bring up right now, missed property investment opportunities.
Okay.
For example.
Yeah.
For example. Even though I've done well in it, I've missed a few that I was like,
Restart.
You know what?
Like,
if only I had.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because you can still do more and you still make the most of what you have. But that's one example.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, regrets. Okay.
Yes.
And then the next one is increased sadness and mood changes where you... give up on your goals and you feel less motivated.
Oh, no.
Have you ever felt...
No.
I feel like you've always been quite a self-motivated guy.
Yeah. I think that's what's got me through life.
Yes.
To be quite honest. Yeah.
It links.
It does link. Having that, again, that confidence and motivation and striving and that hustle and going. Not just for yourself, but for others. I think that's helped me define my life journey. So I want to say no for that one, which is probably a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. It's a no for me as well.
Yeah.
Generally, I am quite motivated, I would say. Also because I do want to provide a good life for my family. And to me, sometimes like there's no wrong in wanting a better life for yourself. So if that's what motivates you, go for it.
I love that.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with wanting a better life.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, people are afraid to admit it because we're in a sometimes Asian society. We're like, oh, maybe I'd be a bit more modest. Okay. Spontaneous decision making. Unfortunately, this one, I have to say, I am a little bit guilty of this.
Okay.
I do slip into phases of life where I do make regrettable decisions. Like, I don't know, like I binge party, binge drink.
But you acknowledge it?
I do. I recognize it.
And do you learn from it?
I learn from it, but sometimes it happens again and I
That's
wonder
okay.
why. So please share your wisdom. You've been through this phase.
I wouldn't say I'm out of this phase necessarily.
It still creeps back.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of a gray area again where what is life if it isn't sporadic?
Right.
I think it's nice to have a plan.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to be diligent. I think it's nice to know what you want and how you want to do it. But life should also be spontaneous. Like should have fun and do things. And sometimes it requires I'm gonna book a holiday, a trip tomorrow.
Mine isn't so far-fetched. Mine is, let's get messed up tonight.
Yeah, also fun. Also fun. And you know what? Yeah. Go get messed up.
Right.
Are you... okay, if I can quickly bring up a story about this.
Okay,
so early on in my career also, when I was still doing all the partying and everything, and we had lots of fun.
Yeah.
And my TV presence was starting to come on the rise.
Yes.
So it would happen. People would literally come up to me like, hey, you should be a little bit more careful now. You know, don't drink so much lah.
Yeah.
You know,
wait,
take picture or video of you.
Now it's even worse, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. So back then, still not so bad.
I'm low-key scared.
Not so bad, right? You know, because of this. And I was like, you know what? But this is my life. I can do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
I always ask, who hasn't had that happen today? If you haven't vomited from drinking too much on a really big party night out, you have not lived life.
Sure.
But it does happen.
Of course.
But we're having fun. We're with our trusted group of friends partying.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have that one too many drink, or you mix too many drinks.
Right.
And I still feel there should be no shame in that. There should be nothing wrong with that.
I feel like sometimes when I look at the times that I really feel like I'm in a therapy session right now. When I look at the times that I go haywire or I'm a little unhinged, I do feel like extreme guilt after that, you know? Because you're always like, oh, why did I do that? And also, I guess it's the post-alcohol depression feeling or something. Which I think is a scientific...
More being hungover. That's the regret the next day.
That too, yeah.
Oh my.
And then the chemicals in your body are all
like
off. And,
why do I do this to myself?
Regrets.
Yeah.
Then I feel like, I'm in a crisis. I definitely, you know, feel that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel that for a lot of people who have control in most parts of their life, maybe that's just their way of like
letting loose.
You know what? Yeah. I'm not going to have control over this one. Like, yeah, I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
So
and there's nothing, again, there's nothing wrong with having fun.
Yeah.
I think people should see it that way rather than the negative
that
way.
That is true.
Yes.
So then, you know, leading from that and going into being, say, irritated with, you know, life choices or relationships and all. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where at a different phase, perhaps, you were frustrated with your dating life or your relationships?
Yeah.
Or it's not where you wanted it to be? Because that could also be another sign of, oh, am I in the right place of my life right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of my relationships early on as well kind of didn't work out because we started to grow and split our tangents.
Yes, right? Just don't converge anymore.
That's right, right? We're all, again, growing and developing at different times. I think the hard part is figuring out that perhaps you're not maybe meant to be with someone or that maybe the relationship has run its course and maybe letting go of each other is the best thing to do so that you can both work on yourselves and grow at
and
the
be
pace,
better.
Yeah, at the pace that you're growing at, rather than kind of holding back a little bit or being pulled back even unintentionally, but being pulled back because you're not growing at that same rate.
I think you brought up a good point because sometimes with a relationship with an age gap or a bigger age gap, it does feel like the younger person has to play some catch up,
right?
And
the older has to.
Yeah,
slow down.
Yeah.
Which...
And sometimes I worry like, is my partner already at a place where he doesn't want to deal with this shit anymore?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to deal with my shit anymore, you know? So I better grow up faster. That's the feeling.
But I also think, say, for example, from 30 to 20 is also very different from 40 to 30.
Yeah.
I think it becomes closer. The gap shortens.
Yeah.
Closer. The older we get, because again, we start to establish ourselves in our career. We start to figure ourselves out more. So I always feel like every relationship you're in, you're looking out for a better relationship.
Yeah.
If the last one didn't work for whatever reasons, the next one shouldn't have any of those reasons.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to tick
to eliminate the ones, the things that you're not happy about.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and I feel as you get older and you find this person or these people, if you're still figuring it out, you start to know.
You're like,
okay, yeah. And no one has the perfect relationship.
Yeah.
There's always going to be pros and cons and stuff like that, but that's life as well. You you deal with it and you make the best of what you have. Yeah.
And what about now in your current relationship status?
Yes.
Like, what do you feel is your biggest lesson in this point, or biggest learning point?
Learning point. I'm coming up to 5 years.
Wow.
Five years. This is like besides my uni relationship when we were living overseas and having our own home to live in, this is also the first relationship where we've also had our own home. I think having that space is important.
Yeah.
Having a partner that can spend time and do a lot of things with, but
also do things on your own, right?
Yeah. Also is very important. You have to acknowledge that space. Finding someone that you can really match with as much as possible.
Mm.
Yes. I think that helps a lot.
That's why I wonder why people always say opposites attract. I'm like, This needs to be another episode, by the way. Also, yeah. I mean, now that we're on the topic of relationships, you know, before we wrap up this whole conversation, I mean, when I look back at all my relationships from when I was, I don't know, 18 all the way till now, like, what a journey. Because what I wanted when I was in my 20s, or what I thought I wanted, is different from what I want now.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And you still have so much of your journey left.
Right.
So, I mean, so do I.
But, yeah, everyone does.
We do, right? I love how at one point we were talking, it was just like midlife crisis stuff. I'm like, wow, midlife?
Yeah.
I'm 42.
Is that considered midlife?
On average, right? Yeah. You know, if we hit the 80 to 100, okay.
So technically, that's the thing. I'm curious where that phrase even came up, midlife crisis. Like,
it's termed at some
who's
point.
Who's the first one that came up with this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so negative.
Yeah. Because again, like I mentioned earlier, our whole life is filled with crisis.
Yeah.
To be really honest, whether it's big or small, but it's all how you deal with it. I've seen people crumble and gone down a very dark path after a crisis. And I've seen others embrace it and come out on the lighter side. Again, there's no right or wrong. We will never know how to deal with something until you're literally standing face to face with it. But I think dealing with it is the most important.
I agree.
That's easier said than done,
yes,
I know.
Yes.
But you have to.
I think if there's anything that I would share to wrap up that entire section is, aside from having the mental grit to pull yourself up, which is tough. Because sometimes you're like in such a dark place, you just don't know how to get out. Your immediate inner circle needs to be so strong.
Yeah, support network.
Because without them, you're probably going to find it a lot harder to climb out of a crisis. Be it midlife crisis, quarter life crisis, or whatever crisis it may be. If you've got that tight inner circle, I think it's going to make it so much easier for you to come on the other side.
Can I ask you, so if you had to face an issue, a problem, do you try to deal with it first and internalize it? Take a moment, however long it takes, before maybe seeking advice or counsel.
Okay. Yes, that's me. I felt like you're going to ask that question because I know some people who immediately...
Yes.
Like, guys, I need help. Like, because growing up, I would only have my parents to confide in
if
I had anything wrong.
Mm.
So I wasn't used to the concept of like having siblings or big groups of friends to confide in. So growing up, I realized that I would try and solve the problem first, actually. Likewise with some problems that I faced at work. You know Joakim, my partner, right? So
he's a big problem, I know.
I didn't see that one coming. Problem child, you hear that? Problem child, that's you. Definitely, because we've been partners for a while. You know, and we know of each other's lives and problems. Like, we see each other almost every day because of the show. If there's anything that's bothering us, it will have to come out because it will affect the show for sure.
Yes.
So we would have to confide in each other. He knows that I'm the sort that would keep quiet about something like as long as I can until I solve it. Then I'd be like, Joakim, I need to tell you.
Okay.
This happened. But it's all good now. And he's like, what? You kept it from me for like days? How did you even? I don't know. That's just how I deal with a crisis.
But that's me too.
That's you as well.
Yeah. I actually find it one level deeper than you.
Yeah.
I find it actually much harder to reach out.
Oh, okay.
I don't like to
bog people down.
Yeah. In a way. So, but if I really, really, really cannot solve and I really, really, really need help, advice, of course.
Yes.
Of course, I would seek counsel.
Yeah.
There's never a right or wrong.
Yes.
I think as long as you are able to solve and move forward and embrace and everything, I guess it doesn't really matter which way you do it.
Yeah.
But you need to figure it out. Yeah, and hopefully you figure out in the best way possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Thank you for sharing so much with us on this show. I mean, this episode became like a real therapy session.
Enough time. We can a whole series on just this.
A whole series, exactly. Now we got like a few spin-off episodes as well.
Yeah.
Do opposites really attract? This one, please take notes.
Joakim, problem child.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Men Explained. We hope you enjoyed it.
And if you love this episode, please hit the follow button.
We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and MeListen. And don't forget to follow us at itsclarity.co on Instagram and TikTok for more content. See you next time.